begin Hilchos Shvi'is Yomtiv, the laws of resting on Yomtiv, which the fourth out of the ten halachas in the Sefer Zman book of Designated Times, which yesh b'chlol and shtei mesri mitzvahs. In their category, there's 12 mitzvahs, shesh mitzvahs asei, 6 positive commandments, v'shesh mitzvahs lois asei, and 6 negative prohibitions. V'zeh prot, now these are their specifics. Alf number 1, lishbis b'rishon shel Pesach, to rest on the first day of Pesach. Beis number 2 is a negative of that, shle las b'malacha, not to do malacha on it. Gimel number 3, lishbis b'shvi shel Pesach, to rest on the seventh day of Pesach. Dalet is the opposite of that, shle las b'malacha, it's a negative prohibition, not to do malacha on it. Hey, number 5, lishbis v'yem chag ha-shavuos, to rest on the Yom Tov Shavuos. Vav number 6, shloi lasa b'malacha, the negative prohibition, not to do malacha on it. Zayin number 7, lishbis v'rish Hashanah, to rest on Rish Hashanah. Ches number 8, shloi lasa b'malacha, not to do malacha on Rish Hashanah. Tes is the positive. Lishbis v'rish Hashanah Sukkos, to rest on the first day of Sukkos. Yud number 10, shloi lasa b'malacha, not to do malacha. Yud Alf number 11, lishbis b'shmin Shachag, to rest on the eighth day of Sukkos. Yud Beis number 12, ishloi lasa b'malacha, not to malacha. So it's 6 positive, 6 negative on the same ones. An explanation of these 12 mitzvahs of Beprakim Eilu are in these 8 chapters, which the first 5 discuss what's permitted, what's forbidden on Yom Tov. Perek Vav discuss Eftar Shilin, the Kavod, and Oinig, and Simcha on Yom Tov. And Zayin Ches discuss the laws of Chol HaMoed, the intermediate days on Pesach and Sukkot. And that we begin Perek Rishon, the first chapter, which discusses the general categories of what's forbidden and what's permitted on Yom Tov. The Rambam gives Halacha Alf regarding the concept of Yom Tovim and the mitzvah of resting in general. Sheishis Yom HaElu. These 6 days, Shasana Makazba says Malacha, that possibly made it forbidden to do Malacha on them, Shehem, they are, in which we just mentioned that in the introduction. Rishon Ushvi Shal Pesach, the first and the last, meaning the seventh day of Pesach. Berishon Ushmina Shal Chag HaSukkos, the first and the eighth day of the Yom Tov HaSukkos. And B'yayim Chag HaShavuos on the Yom Tov HaShavuos. And B'ech Lachid HaShavuos, the first of the seventh month, which we call Rosh Hashanah. Heim HaKraim, these 6 are called Yom Tov, the good days, because there's an obligation to be happy and rejoicing on them. Or Shvis is Kulam Shava, and the resting on all of them are the same, they're equal. Shemasudim Chomalachas Abadi, they're all forbidden in any activity that's productive of that's work. Chutz Mimalacha Shilatar Chachil, except for a malacha that's for the purposes of eating. Shemakas says it has in the Pasuk in Shemais. Ah, however, in contrast to Shabbos, Ashiya Ochel Chon Nefesh Vegemet, that which will be eaten for any soul, that you're allowed to do on the Yom Tov. Halacha Beis. Kala Shavis Mimalachas Abadi, whoever rests from the forbidden work, Be'echanem, in any one of these 6 days, Hariki, mitzvah say, he's filling a positive commandment. Sharinem, Behem Shabbosin, because, and each 6, it's their own independent mitzvah. It says by them, the resting, kolem, in other words, Shavuos, to rest, is a positive commandment. Now, the chol, ho'isabach, ben malacha, now whoever does a malacha on one of these 6 days, she'en l'tzarech ha'chil, which not for the purposes of eating, could go in, for example, Jabban, he builds, or hardest, or destroys, or autogory weaves, or creates a bill, anything that's another malacha, non eating malacha. Hare bitl mitzvah say, so he's nullified this positive commandment, and va'avra aloysa say, and he's violating negative prohibition. Shlomik says in the pasuk, komalach zavod aloysasu, komalach aloysasu. We see by each one of them it says a specific negative prohibition not to do malacha. And v'masa be'ed masra, and if he commits the malacha with witnesses to testify, and masra, and a warning, like him in that time, he gets biblical lashes for the negative prohibition about doing malacha on the Yom Tov. Halacha gimel. Ha'isa avas malachas harba b'yamtiv. If someone violates many malachas on the yamtiv, basra achas with one warning, for example, shazara, he planted a bond, he built, v'sasra, he demolished, v'aragin, he did weaving, basra achas, only one warning, in a lekele achas, only going to get one set of lashes. Because chilik malachas l'shabbos, even though it's one warning, on Shabbos, there is a division of liability for each independent malacha. Ve'en chilik malachas yamtiv, but we don't have the division of liability for malachas on yamtiv. And the reason for that is because the halacha of chilik malachas is learned on Shabbos, specifically in the context of the liability of chattas, which Shabbos has, which yamtiv doesn't have, because it's only malchus, and therefore won't be included in this this stringency of chilik malachas. Halacha dalet, regarding malachas that are permitted. So, kama malacha shechayyemin le b'Shabbos, any malacha that there's a liability to do it on Shabbos, im asa isa b'yamtiv, if you do it on yamtiv, shaloy l'tzarechachil, not for eating purposes, loike you get lashes, chutz min ha'itzaha mishos l'shos, except for carrying out, transferring from one domain to another domain, because the pasuk explicitly says in Yirmiyah that b'leisitzi masa mibatecha b'yom Shabbos, to tell us there's more stringent on Shabbos than in yamtiv. And v'havar regarding igniting a fire, because it says in the Torah, l'savar ish b'chom ha'ishav v'seichem b'yim ha'shabbos, which tells us on Shabbos you cannot ignite any fire, but on Yom Tov you could. And the reason is, since carrying is permitted to be done on Yom Tov for the purpose of eating, so it's also permitted even for non-eating purposes. And lefikach, therefore, mutu b'yom tov, it's permitted on Yom Tov, lo hitzi katan, to carry out a child, or save a Torah, or a Torah scroll, meftech, or a key, okay, it's be'elu, mishros l'shros, or any similar things, from one domain to another domain, even though it's not for eating purpose. And v'chemot l'haver, so it's permitted to ignite a fire, av b'shein l'tzarech achila, even though it's not for the purposes of eating. Now, shram malachas, but regarding all other malachas, kol sh'yesh b'tzarech achila, whatever has an eating purpose, mutu, that's permitted. For example, shechita, slaughtering afia, and baking melisha, and kneading the dough, because of similar types of things, those are for eating purposes permitted. But whatever does not have an eating purpose, also is going to be forbidden. For example, ksiva, writing, variga, weaving, and binyan, building, because all similar types of malachas would be liable. Halacha hey now continues, however, if the malacha could have been done from before Yom Tov. Come malacha, any malacha, she'efshali asas me'er Yom Tov, that could have been done from before Yom Tov, v'lo yiba hefzid, wouldn't be any loss, v'lechasar, no lacking, im nasim be'er, if it would have been done from the evening, from the day before Yom Tov. Asru chachamim lasas asim Yom Tov, then those things which you could have done before, and it wouldn't be any detriment, the sages made it forbidden to do on Yom Tov. Af b'shul tzarech achili, even though it's for eating purposes. Now, v'lama asru dovas, so why did they make this forbidden? Gzeira has a rabbinic decree, which is, maybe a person might leave all the malachas that he could do in Erev Yom Tov. He'll leave it for the Yom Tov because I'm busy Erev Yom Tov and I could do all these Eichel Nefesh malachas in Yom Tov. When Nimzah comes out, Yom Tov kule hoylach, they go a whole Yom Tov. This guy is going by seeing his malachas doing all these malachas. The Yimonim Asimchas Yom Tov. It's going to hold him back from really enjoying the Yom Tov. For the Yilu Penai Lechel, he's not going to have time to eat. He's so busy doing all these different Eichel Nefesh malachas. So therefore, if it's not going to cause any loss, you have to do it from before Yom Tov. Now, it's actually from the same reasoning that we have actually an opposite logic. They did not make carrying out on Yom Tov forbidden. Although the whole Hitzah, the whole carrying, is a malacha that could have been done from before Yom Tov. It's just you have to get it from this domain to another domain. You could have done that before Yom Tov. So, why didn't they make that forbidden? Because actually that increases the joy of Yom Tov. So they could take and bring whatever he wants, and he can get what his heart's desire is. And it shouldn't be like someone whose hands are tied, saying, okay, I can't get it because it's across the street and I can't carry. So that's actually why they permitted it. But other malachas, that you could have done from before Yom Tov. And since it keeps you busy and you're not going to be able to enjoy Yom Tov, we said those things you cannot do on Yom Tov. Now, Ketzad, how do we illustrate this, that the sages said it's forbidden to do some of the malachas, even though it's for l'tzarech l'chal nefesh? So in Kaitzin, you cannot harvest, v'lei dashin, you cannot thresh, v'lei zodin, you cannot winnow, v'lei burden, you cannot select, v'lei techanin, you cannot grind, esachidin the wheat, and v'lei meraktim yamtim, you cannot sift the flour in yamtim, because shekol elu, all these that we just mentioned, the kiyitzim, and those that are similar, efshal asayis merav yamtim, you could have done from before yamtim, v'im b'kachef se'v'lei chazar, there wouldn't be any loss or any lacking had you done this from before yamtim. So even though you're doing it for food purposes, it's forbidden. Halachas, abul bat. Lushin, you can knead the dough. V'oifin, you could bake it. V'shechadin, you could slaughter. U'mavashin, you could cook. B'yom tov and yom tov. Because Shem Asa Elim and Be'er, you would have done any of these from before yom tov. Yesh b'kach hefzer echestun tam. It would be a loss or a lack of taste because it's not fresh. It would have been from the day before. Because she'in lechem cham, because it's not the same by warm bread. Aitav shel shebish layom, or something that was cooked today. Kalechem shenefem emesh. Like yesterday's baked bread. Or kitav shel nesbashem emesh, or something that was cooked yesterday. And it's not the same meat that was slaughtered today, like meat that was slaughtered yesterday. Anything that's similar to like that would also have the same halacha. So too, preparatory acts related to eating. And that would be a lakim, had it been done from before Yom Tov. That you're allowed to do on Yom Tov. Going in, for example, shchikas tabon, like the grinding of the spices. Okay, it's been that the spices wouldn't be as potent. You're allowed to do that on Yom Tov. Now, Lachat Tas discussed regarding cooking from Yom Tov for the next day, a weekday. Ain oifin mevashlim b'Yom Tov. Although you said you're allowed to cook and bake on Yom Tov, you're not allowed to cook and bake on Yom Tov. Mashi ochel b'chol, that what you're going to eat on the next day on the weekday. And v'lehutra malacha shil tzarech achila, because it wasn't permitted to do malacha that's for eating purposes. El g'day lahanis b'Yom Tov, only to have that pleasure on Yom Tov. Asa g'day lechel b'Yom Tov v'heiser. Now, let's say someone made the food to eat on Yom Tov, but then he has leftovers. Then you're allowed to eat the leftovers during the next day, the weekday. Halacha yud. So to mamala isha kadeh de basa, a woman can fill up a pot full of meat, even though she only needs one piece, because it's the same effort that's going into it and you're going to cook anyway. But it's not a distinct act of cooking for after Yom Tov. So to mamala nachtim chavashal mayim, the baker can fill up a barrel full of water, that he has to heat up for his baking, even though he only needs one flask, it's one act. He's filling up the whole thing. So to Mamali Isha Tana Paz, a woman's allowed to fill up the whole oven with bread, even though she only needs one loaf, because here, a slightly different reason, because when there's more bread in the oven, it actually makes it bake better. So although she only needs one loaf and she's putting all these doughs on the walls, it actually is significant for the pleasure you're going to get on Yom Tov. Also, umelech adam, a person could salt kama chatichas basav basachas, many pieces of meat with one act of salting, even though it only needs one piece, again, because it's one tircha for the whole thing. And the chinkah yitzim is anything like something that would have the same halacha that would be permitted. Halacha yid aleph. Hamavashal oyo oifer. If someone cooks or bakes b'yamtiv, k'dei lecha b'yam to eat it that day. Or let's say he met a guest, so he made this whole meal, but they didn't come. V'nisha ha'tav shal ha'pas. Now you have the food and the bread that's left over. Okay, it is a mutalech l'machir. You'll have to eat that tomorrow. B'yim b'chil b'mishaz, whether it's weekday, whether it's Shabbos. As long as you're not deceptive, that you're like, oh, I really, I have gas, or we're really hungry, when you're really not, you're really doing it for the next day. And v'mherman, if you were deceptive, us, it's actually going to be forbidden. Even for the Shabbat that's after Yom Tov, because they're actually more stringent with someone who's deceptive, more than someone who deliberately violates this halacha. And the reason for that is because he thinks, well, it's permitted, I'm allowed to do it, and therefore he's not going to retract, and others are going to learn from him, and therefore the Rabban actually penalized him, and you cannot use it on the next day. Halacha Yud Beis. If someone had an animal that's in danger of its life, meaning it looks like it's going to die, now that's going to be a big loss. If he slaughters it, he gets it, it's still kosher. The moment it dies, it's a nevela. He can't use it, he can't eat it. It's worth a fraction of the price. Only if he knows he's going to be able to eat an olive size of that meat roasted when it's still yamtiv. I mean, you want to get it and slaughter it so that you can get it, but you have to be able to have pleasure from it. So that you shouldn't be slaughtering on Yom Tov, what you're going to be eating during the weekday. But in case of anything like that, as long as you're going to be able to utilize it, okay, then you can go slaughter and save yourself that big loss. Regarding cooking for a Gentile or for a dog. So although you're allowed to cook and bake, ain't oifin mavashim be Yom Tov, you're not allowed to cook and bake on Yom Tov, because they'll hachal goyim to feed Gentiles or klavim or dogs. Kishnamit says in the Pasuk in Shemayis, hu levadi yaslachem. This alone, oichel nefesh, malachas for food, is you're allowed to do for lechem, for you, which is lechem for you below the grim, not for Gentiles, and lechem for you below the klavim, not for dogs. You're allowed to invite a Gentile as a guest on Shabbos, because there's no concern you're going to cook for him, because no one's cooking on Shabbos. But the imazam is to be yomtiv, you now invite a Gentile on yomtiv, gizera as the decree, because you might cook more, oh, put one more on for John, and you might be adding more for him, which is obviously forbidden. But if the Gentile comes on his own, he could eat with them what they're eating, because they already prepared it, but you cannot invite him because of that concern of Shema Yarbe B'Shvilek. Halacha Yadal. Behema, an animal, it's owned jointly by a Gentile and a Jew. Mutal Shachta B'Yamtiv, you're allowed to slaughter on Yamtiv. She'ef Shalecha Menekezai's Basr, because you can't eat even the olive size of meat, which is that your portion, without slaughtering. So although you're also doing it for him, you're not doing it for him, you're doing it for you. Aval Isa, but a dough. Shechetz la gemechetz lisol. The dough is half owned by a Jew, half owned by the non-Jew. Asal efesaz. You can't just bake the whole dough. Neshiyach alachal kabatzah, because you could divide the dough and not do the malacha b'lecha nefesh for the non-Jew, which is forbidden. Bnei hachayil, the soldiers, shenosnu kemach lisol. They give flour to the Jewish populace. Laslem pas b'yamtiv, to make them the bread on yamtiv. So im kishenosnu pas b'mendel latinik imak b'eden. If you would give from the bread to a child, and they wouldn't be particularly the soldiers that you gave one of the slices of bread to a child, then you could break the bread for them on Yom Tov, because you call pas a pas, you could say every single bread, oh, it's a chanefesh, because I could give it to my child and not to the soldiers. And only then would it be permitted, because then you really have the het of a chanefesh. Isis haklovim, now the dough that's made for the dogs, bizman shiroyim oichemen, at times when the shepherds eat from it, they're eating from the dog's food, because it's edible, so nefesh be Yom Tov, so then you could bake it on Yom Tov, because even though you not do it for the dogs, but since a human could technically eat from it, it's permitted. Now, someone did cook on Yom Tov for the Gentiles or for animals which are forbidden, or to leave for the next day which is also forbidden. In a like it doesn't get lashes, why not? He violated the Isser. Because if guests would come to him, that cooked dish would be fit for them, so technically then it would be that you didn't do anything wrong. So even now where you don't have guests, it's also not going to get lashes. Now, let's say he made food for himself, and he has leftover, then he can give the leftovers for the Gentiles and the animals. He's not doing it for them. Halacha Dazayin with the other inuyim on Yom Kippurim regarding bathing and anointing. So rechitza v'sicha, bathing, washing oneself and anointing, smearing some type of cream. Harein b'chalal achil v'shteya. They're actually in the category of eating and drinking. It's like a physical pleasure, like eating and drinking. Va'is noisim yom tiv, and therefore you could do it on Yom Tiv. Shemak, it says in the pasuk, ach ashiya ochel chol nefesh. However, this that you can do for every soul means l'chol shetzorech agof, whatever the body, whatever the soul of the body needs, not just eating and drinking, it's also from the outside, some type of washing and anointing. L'figur, therefore, mecham and cham and b'yamtiv. You're allowed to warm up hot water on Yom Tiv. And b'rech tzvim panim b'dirakim, you use to wash his hands, his face, and his feet. But to wash his whole body is forbidden, because of the decree of the bathhouse, because they would inappropriately warm up and do certain malachas on Shabbos, and Yom Tov would have the same thing, that we don't let you bathe the whole body. But if it's hot water that was heated up from before Yom Tov, then you can wash your whole body on Yom Tov, because this is the only decree on Shabbos itself, even from pre-existing water, because they went that far, because people make believe that it's from before Shabbos. So then, because Shabbos, the Isra of heating up water is biblical, but Yom Tov is only rabbinic, so they weren't geyser on so far, if it was on Yom Tov warmed up, then yeah, but if from before Yom Tov, then you're allowed to bathe even your whole body. Halacha Yitzayin, regarding the halacha of Muktzah and Noilid, so kosher asa b'Shabbos, whatever's forbidden on Shabbos, whether because of something that's similar to malacha, or maybe the malacha brings to malacha, I mean, not the actual malacha itself, but these are certain rabbinic prohibitions because it looks similar to malacha, brings to malacha, whether it's because of a regular rabbinic prohibition about that you shouldn't do like a uftin d'chol, a weekday type of activity. Either way, hadei also be Yom Tov, whatever's forbidden on Shabbos, forbidden on Yom Tov. Unless it was something that necessary for eating, or similar, like we said, for rechitza or sicha, some type of a physical pleasure. Or things that are just generally permitted on Yom Tov, commissions by halachas, or explain these halachas. Now, v'chol she'asal tzaltav b'Shabbos, rabbi not let it move on Shabbos. Asal tzaltav b'Yom Tov, not move on Yom Tov. Ela tzarech achila, again, unless it was for eating purposes, k'yitzba, and similar types of needs. Now, v'chol she'mut b'Shabbos, rabbi is permitted on Shabbos, mut b'Yom Tov is permitted on Yom Tov. But there actually the yesh b'Yom Tov, there is actually one prohibition on Yom Tov, mash'ein b'Shabbos, which is not prohibited on Shabbos. And that is Issa Mukta, the prohibition about things set aside, that you're not allowed to move it because it's not a Yom Tov purpose. Sha'am Mukta also b'Yom Tov, u'mut b'Shabbos. There is a category of Mukta that's forbidden on Yom Tov and permitted on Shabbos. Nisha Yom Tov, Kalman Shabbos, since Yom Tov is more lenient in its prohibition than Shabbos. So also b'ha Mukta, so the rabbis went and made the halacha Mukta more severe on Yom Tov, sh'meyev l'zazel, because then you might come to be treated disrespectfully because you're like, it's Yom Tov. So to make it more strict in people's eyes, they made Muktzah more severe on Yom Tov than Shabbos. Adram Halachit Ches illustrates Ketzad, how so is Muktzah Asra on Yom Tov more than Shabbos? So Tan the Goylus I made is Lagal Beitzim, but let's say you have a chicken that was there to lay eggs. Or Veshar Emel HaRish, or you have an ox that's there for plowing. Or you have the doves of the dovecot. Upedes Am L'Schar, or you have produce that's there for merchandise. Kol Elu, all these things are Ketzim, similar types of things, Muktzah Heim. They're set aside because They're not there for you. You're not going to eat that chicken. You're not going to slaughter that ox. You're not going to, because these things are set aside for alternative purposes, for the eggs that it's going to make or to sell or whatever it is. So it's set aside because you're generally not going to use them. And v'asalach mem b'yamtiv, they're not going to eat these things on yamtiv. Unless you had prepared already, although this chicken was always being used to lay eggs, this hen, you prepared it from before yamtiv, saying, okay, I'm going to eat this hen finally on this yamtiv, then it's not mukta, then it's muchen. But that's on yamtiv. But on Shabbos, hakol muchen etzel Shabbos. Everything is considered prepared regarding Shabbos. Ve'netzer chachana, you don't have to prepare these things for eating on Shabbos. Now, ukshem shamukta also b'yamtiv, just like mukta is aser on yamtiv, kach hanoilet aser, something that's born, that was created, that was a new entity on yamtiv, is also going to be forbidden because it also was not prepared because it just came into existence now on yamtiv. Halacha yitzes, chol mechin l'Shabbos. A weekday can prepare for Shabbos. B'chol mechin l'yamtiv, a weekday can prepare for yamtiv. I will ain yom to mechil on Shabbos, but you cannot prepare from yom to for Shabbos for the next day. And when Shabbos mechil yom to, neither can prepare from Shabbos to yom to. Lefikach, therefore, you have the following halacha: be'yish enoldu b'yom to achar Shabbos. If an egg is laid on yom to on Sunday that comes right after the Shabbos, is asur, is it going to be forbidden? Va'afav b'shatan the gozer mezlachil, even though the chicken was designated for eating purposes, so the chicken itself is not mukta. But hoyilu me'emish nigmun habeya, since the egg had been completed the day before, because every egg that's laid had been already prepared 24 hours, had already been finished. So that means to say, Nimtza Shabbos Mechina Oysel Yom Tov comes out the day before, which was Shabbos, quote unquote, prepared it for the next day of Yom Tov. Now, preparing on Shabbos, like we said, is not a preparation for the next day of Yom Tov. and Sudas Yom Tov needs somebody prepared. So therefore, Vasaru B'chol Yom Tov. Now, they actually, that would be only Yom Tov that's on Sunday, which is right after Shabbos, because then it would be preparing from Shabbos to Yom Tov. But they actually said that any egg laid on any Yom Tov is always going to be forbidden. Gzeres, the decree, Mishum Yom Tov, Shachar Shabbos, because Yom Tov falls out on Sunday, so every day they made forbidden. And the Chimbeish, and the B'chol Shabbos, so the egg that's laid on any Shabbos is forbidden. Gzeres, Mishum Shabbos, Shachar Yom Tov, because as a decree, because if Shabbos happens to be after Yom Tov, which is on Friday, so that means to say it was prepared from Yom Tov to Shabbos, which is not a valid preparation. And therefore, that egg would be forbidden. So therefore, every Shabbos that's laid is going to be forbidden with this halacha of Noilin. Halacha chav. Now, k'shem she'asal achla, just like you're not allowed to eat that egg, k'chasal tatla, so you're not allowed to move it. V'afun zar be'el, if even that egg gets mixed up with 1,000 other eggs, which are permitted, kul nasru is to all become forbidden. Why? Generally say that there's a bittel, there's a nullification in majority, in 60, in 100, in 200, in 1,000. No, shadeh lemacha yutrakol, because tomorrow everything's going to be permitted. It's only now on Shabbos and Yom Tov that's forbidden because of the halacha of Nailad. Now, the halacha is, v'chol dovesh yesh lematir, anything that has a permitted way, afilu be'elef alof mein batal. Then even in 1,000 thousands, it's not going to be nullified because if there's a permitted way, why should we help you make something that's forbidden to be nullified? So therefore, it's not going to be permitted. Hashayr etan negoz b'yom tov. Now, however, if someone slaughters a hen on Yom Tov, and finds inside fully formed eggs. It just didn't lay it yet. They actually are permitted. Because that's not something that's commonly found that you would have such a situation. But something that's not so common, it just happens once in a while. Like Gazerbay, that's always the Talmudic dikma. Something that's not common, the rabbis did not make a decree. And since it's not such a common thing, it will not have the halacha of the Be'er Shenolda, and therefore that would be permitted. Halacha Chaval continues with Yom Tov Sheni, the second day of Yom Tov. Zeshana Oisim B'chutzlar, this that we do out of Eretz Yisrael, Kol Yom Tov Me'elu, any one of these six Yom Tovim that we described, Shnei Yomim, 2 days, because we were only talking about first day, last day, we weren't talking about first days and last days, which we say in Chutzlarz, because those 2 days, the second day of either one of that, by the first day, second day, Shavuos, Rosh Hashanah, Minikum, so those specifically in Chutzlarz are a custom. And Yom Tov Sheni, because this second day of Yom Tov is Medivrei Sofrim, is for Binik Halacha, and it's Umidvarm Shenas Chach Bagal, it's from the Halachas that were initiated in the Diaspora. Ve'in Oisim B'nei Eretz Yisrael Shnei Yom Tov, and those in Eretz Yisrael do not do 2 days, Elav Rosh Hashanah Mavad, the only exception is Rosh Hashanah, U'Behechas Kedesh HaChedesh, Misei V'zeh, and from the laws of the sanctification of the new month, in this Sefer of Zmanim, Nevar Ikur Minik Gezeh, we're going to explain the source, the root of this custom. And why is it specifically Rosh Hashanah? Do we do 2 days in all places, even in Eretz Yisrael? Halacha Chabez. So this Yom Tov Sheni is, like the Rambam calls it, Medivrei Sofrim. It's a minik. It's not the same as Yom Tov Rishon. So Yom Tov Sheni, the second day Yom Tov, after Shem Medivrei Sofrim, those are minik law. It's not the biblical halacha of the first day. Still, anything that's forbidden on the first day, is forbidden on the second day. Whoever desecrates the honor of the second day Yom Tov, v'afilu shel Rosh Hashanah, in regards to the other way, different ways of interpreting what it means even, but whether it's because something that's rabbinic, whether it's malacha, whether it goes out of the chum, doesn't make a difference. We're going to give him rabbinic lashes. Can't give him anything more. It is rabbinic halacha, but you cannot treat it any less, and therefore we're going to give him rabbinic lashes. Or even Adonai said, will we excommunicate him? Unless we come to Tamid HaChamim, Talmudic scholars, then we won't treat him so disrespectfully. And just like the first day Yom Tov is forbidden, behesped, betainis, in eulogy and in fasting, and you have to rejoice in it. To the second day, there's no difference between them in halacha. The only difference between them is specifically on Rosh Hashanah, because other days Yom Tov there is a difference. But regarding someone who died, that would be the one difference between the second day Rosh Hashanah and the first day Rosh Hashanah. As Rambam illustrates, halacha chav gimel, ketzer hasol. Someone that dies on the first day Yom Tov is asku b'kvodas ha'goyim. So the Gentiles, they are engaged in burying him. But Yom Tov Sheni, that's the difference. In the second day Yom Tov is asku by Yisrael, then the Jewish people are engaged in burying him. And ba'isin le'kol tzrachim, they do all his needs. For example, asis amita, making the coffin, or tefillas ha'tachrich, and then stitching the burial shroud, or ketzitza basam, and cutting off the fragrant spices, the b'chol kreitz b'zeh, and anything similar like that is necessary for the levaya. Because the second day Yom Tov regarding a dead person is kechelu chashav, is considered like a weekday. Because again, it's rabbinic, and for regarding a mess, they didn't make it. And therefore, you're allowed to do all these malachas for him. And that's what we're saying, even on the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, which we say generally, they're exactly 1 day. Regarding this halacha, we'll say that the second day is different than the first day. Halacha chavdal. Now, shenei yom tov elu shogolius. These 2 days of Yom Tov, that we add a second day in the diaspora, shtei kedushas him. They're considered like 2 different sanctities. They're not considered like 1 day, because it's only out of doubt that they made 2 days. And if that's the case, one of them for sure is a weekday. So you can't say they're the same Kedusha. But figure if you have the following ramification. Something that was mukta on the first day yamtib, or the egg was laid, or it came into being on the first day. If on the first day then you go and prepare it for the second day, either way you look at it, it's going to be permitted on the second day yamtib. Because if the first day was yamtib, so that means today's the second day is a weekday, it's permitted. If the first day, if the second day is yamtib, it means yesterday was a weekday, and you can prepare from weekday for yamtib. Kate's house, so Rama illustrates. Beishin al debarishin, an egg that was laid on the first day yamtib, techa b'sheni, you could eat it on the second day. Chayiv oivshin etzay debarishin, a wild animal, a bird, or that was trapped on the first day, which you didn't have, it was mukta, it wasn't set aside, yachal b'sheni, you could eat it on the second day, if you prepared it from the first day to the second day. Dav mechub l'karka, if you had something that was attached to the ground, shenek b'rishin, that was uprooted on the first day, again, yachal b'sheni, you could eat it on the second day, if you prepared it for that. V'chein, another distinction, is muta likhal esa'ayin, you're allowed to put in a certain makeup, a certain type of cream into the eye, b'yamtiv shein, on the second day of yamtiv. Even though there's no illness over there, but it's just bothering the eye a little bit, even though his whole body's healthy, which, because if a person is ill, you're allowed to do it even on the first day. But it's just a little bit of a pain, so therefore they're only lenient regarding this on the second day of Yom Tov. Now, B'med Ramun, when we say this, again, B'shnei Yom Tov Shal Golias, regarding the 2 days of the Yom Tov of the diaspora. B'shnei Yom Shal Rosh Hashanah, but the 2 days of Rosh Hashanah, the beginning of the year, Kedusha Achasem, those 2 days have the halacha of one sanctity. They consider like 1 day for all these halachas. The only exception, like we said before, is regarding a dead person. Only that would make a discrepancy. But if you have an egg that, let's say, is laid on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, it would be forbidden on the second day. Anything similar like that would have the same halacha. Now, Shabbos asmuch al yamtiv, you have a Shabbos near a yamtiv, the next day, or benol de bay and benol de bay ba'achad mem, and the egg is born on one of them, asur b'shein is forbidden on the second one. If anything like similar like that, would be problematic, because here you don't have the svara of, oh, 1 day, even though they have 2 different kedushas, but they're both kaddish, and you're not sanctified from yamtiv to Shabbos, Shabbos yamtiv, that would be forbidden, unlike the 2 days yamtiv, which we said is one's chel, one's yamtiv, and manav shachat to be permitted on the second day. And if it's null to be b'shein, even if the egg was born on the second day yamtiv, like the achab Shabbos asmuchale, so let's say it's Thursday, Friday, and Shabbos, if it's laid on Friday, then you can't eat on the Shabbos and Nir, because then you wouldn't know. Maybe that day is Yom Tov. You wouldn't have the month of Shachiyah by the 2 days Yom Tov, and therefore it would be forbidden on the next day of Shabbos.